All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got a two-pack of sporting events tonight in Toronto. The Maple Leafs at home against the Ducks tonight. And the Raps, after a big win last night, a very impressive win last night, they hit the road and they're in Chicago tonight, taking on DeMar DeRozan. So we'll tee those two games up, and we're tracking a rare Wednesday opening round down at the Farmers and Torrey Pines. And
Greasy moves away from Torrey Pines. Let me just set the stage here. Where the greasiness started, or what you perceive to be greasy. Yesterday I text you and I said, I made a mistake. I wanted to take Brooks Koepka, so I'm keeping Berger, you add another guy.
which
got my brain stirring, because today you said, oh, Danny Berger's on fire. So I'm like, well, good for Berger. I'm glad I didn't gas him. But when I mentioned to you, add a guy, you never did. And all of a sudden today you're like, you start watching. And you're like, yeah, I like Fee now. And then after that, you're like, oh, Rick Fowler has crawled up from the coffin and poked his head out. Rick Fowler. So you had the audacity to say, I'm taking Rick Fowler, not Fee now. This has gotten out of hand.
Well, I'll admit that's fraudulent, but that's countering fraudulence. You know, that's all it is. If we're going to play a game ripe with fraud, then I might as well play, right? You might as well get in a muck, because everything he just said, Noodles, could not be further from the truth.
How was anything
you
that I just said?
You replaced Berger with Koepka.
I did not.
There was a replacement, and then okay. Berger
dude,
eagles his first hole.
Why am I not privy to this text? Like, how come I,
be.
Like, I've got the
be.
List right in front of me.
You're right.
So what's going on? What's, like, you two sort it out and let me know which players you have, because all of a sudden behind the scenes you're trading players and cutting players and stuff, and then now I'm going to call you guys out and say you don't have that guy or not. What is Berger on O's roster at number 5 or not?
Well, this was my understanding. My interpretation was Koepka in, Berger out. There hasn't been any tee shots. The tournament hasn't started. Okay. And then that's why I wrote him today. Berger eagles his first hole, and I said, whoa, look at Danny Berger.
Yeah.
You know, wide open eye emoji. Like, you better watch yourself. Bad pick. And then he comes over the top and goes, oh, good thing I added Koepka and Koepberger, which, again, I think in front of a jury and judge would probably be dismissed almost immediately.
I not have the discussion with you that I was adding Koepka and taking off Berger?
There was no discussion. There was a text.
Go okay. back. You got a text. Go to the text chain and
read
it
out. Let me go find it.
Because I think
here it is.
I found it.
No.
I found it.
I found it. I'm
trading out. Oh, I said I'm trading.
I'm trading out Berger for Koepka. Or I take Koepka, you get one more.
There you go. There's the second half of it.
But I didn't respond. So if there's no response, it's an automatic trade out, I think. But fine. I'll give you Koepka. I'll let you keep them. And then admittedly, now, Finau had not teed off yet. I said I'll take Finau. You know I've always been a big supporter of Ricky Fowler. I've always believed he'll get back off the mat. I've always been a believer
right,
that he should
so
be.
Right, so who is it
I think it's been 3 years running where you have been throwing Rick Fowler in front of an oncoming bus and running him over backwards. You've had enough of him, but today you love him.
Well, he's 4-under through 13. Fine, I'll keep Finau. I've got integrity.
No, you can. You know what? Okay. How about you take Finau and Rick Fowler, and I'll grab one more guy.
Well, who are you going to grab? Like Michael Thompson, who's sitting atop the leaderboard, or Billy Haas? Billy Haas. Old school Billy.
Who do you want me to take, Hayes, for the last pick that's kind of up there, and you're like, just take him because he ain't winning? Is it Billy Haas?
Well, Billy Haas ain't winning this tournament. There's no way. And neither is Ricky Fowler. I mean, let's be honest. But
okay, I'll take Michael Thompson.
Why don't you take Billy Horschel? He's also at 400. He's legit.
Like, okay, I'll take Billy Horschel.
You take Billy, I'll take Rick Fowler. There you go, Noodles.
Okay,
that'll be
so
your list.
We've got an 8-pack now. Rom,
yes.
DJ, JT, Scheffler, Berger, Connors, Koepka,
Horschel. If we don't
Horschel.
Win this, if we can't then, pick a winner out of this schlop,
then,
we've lost our right.
We
for
Hayes has Schauffele, Bryson, Burns, Homa, Zalatoris, Hughes, Finau, and Fowler, correct?
Yeah, I like it. Okay, we have about 40% of the field covered.
Exactly. You've basically got everyone covered.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I just wanted to clarify that. I was just mentioning it, and I'm glad we got to the bottom of it because you didn't want anything greasy to happen here. We don't want to start off on, you know, the wrong footing here. We've got a Leaf game, a Raptor game tonight. You see this new trend. We got Chris Long that will join us in an hour. Chris is an awesome, you know, two-time Super Bowl champ. We've had him on before. Great follow on Twitter. He's got a podcast out. Awesome guest to have on. We're looking forward to that. And I want to ask him about this trend. Have you seen these videos being posted in Chicago and in New York? The Giants and the Bears, they both have new GMs. And their Twitter accounts, and I believe the Instagram, probably TikTok, Facebook, everything, is taking a video of the new GM getting out of their car and walking into the office when it's still dark out, suggesting he's really here to work now.
Like,
we got a new GM, and look, the sun's not even out. He's barely been on the job for 48 hours, and he's already at the facility working.
Is that why I saw, like, an NFL beat reporter, he posted a video of himself getting out of an elevator walking into his office?
Probably exactly what it was, just mocking and it's, of course, it's the Giants and the Bears, two teams that really don't need to do it because they're in massive markets and they're worth a fortune. It's New York and Chicago. Those are great sports towns.
Especially with the blowback you're going to get from the fan base. Just let the guy be quiet and away from it and build it up and have success, and then maybe you could pump his tires. But that's just nonsense. It's nonsense.
I just love, like, Belichick's the other way, for example.
Exactly.
Like, if there was a video of Belichick, he would be. They were like, "Hey, we got to put something on social media." He'd have his dog sitting at the table with the computer. You know he would.
Like,
he
was all the NFL coaches. Apparently, the hours are outrageous, man. After the game, they stay and they watch video. You've done that with Calgary before.
But
guys are there till 3 or 4 in the morning watching video, breaking it down. It's like that's part of the gig. Nobody pumps their own tires and posts videos of it.
No, but that's the thing. Like, you don't think Nick Nurse breaks the video down till 2 o'clock in the morning, then wakes up again at 6 because he can't sleep, going, "What the hell was that in the third quarter?" Like, these coaches live it. I was joking when an assistant coach who was a buddy of mine and used to be a teammate of mine, and he's like 10 years younger than me, and he looks 20 years older than me. And I was saying, like, "What the hell happened to you?" He's like, "Coaching, man." He said the stress, like, his hair's all gray now, and it's like he just looks like a saddlebag with eyes. And I'm like, you know, this guy doesn't sleep. During the season, he literally does not sleep. They just live the game. You could have the greatest day as a human and then show up at the rink and your team gets rinsed that night. The players go for dinner. They go for a drink. The coaches, management, they all sit there trying to figure out what the hell just happened. It is a high-stress job in any pro sport.
And there's always another game right around the corner, right?
Exactly.
If you're into the offseason, well, what went wrong? You better figure it out. I think the Belichick example is a great one because we've been beating that drum forever. I have said it 100 times if I've said it once on this show.
Right.
When in doubt, what would Belichick do? And admittedly, this is also a sign of young GMs who have never been on the job before that probably don't feel like they should be in a position to tell people to scram, you know, like, get away from me. But
right.
Can you imagine if the social media person went up to Belichick and said, "We've got an idea, Bill. We need you to be here before the sun comes up. We want you to pull in, slowly open your door, and then just mosey into the facility, and we're going to post it." Belichick would clearly tell that person to pack their bags and get out and to never show up again. Where these new GMs, they probably are thinking, "I don't want to be difficult. I've been on the job for a day or two. I guess if this is promotion," but it's not helping anything, and it's so fraudulent. Like, it's so easily transparent, you know, like, "Oh, you're working harder than everyone else." You know,
no,
Belichick's
not
working. Yeah, Belichick's in the offseason too. He's working. You know, all these GMs are working. Up in Green Bay, they're working. In Minnesota, they're working. And, you know, there's 4 teams left. They're working. They're showing up at the facility. I social media, it's, you're trying to help. And you're not. You're just doing is – and the Bears are the worst for it. Andy Dalton, there's our QB1. Remember the reaction
to
the Andy
Dalton? Remember
that
tweet they sent out, QB1, Andy Dalton, and they just drafted the franchise.
Right. Yeah.
But think about it, though. Like, it's not the higher-ups. A lot of the social media people are, younger, they're hip, they wouldn't say they're interns, but they're probably a little bit lower level as far as the PR staff.
And different focus, right?
And
like
exactly.
It's about engagement and following.
But they're the ones who can get you in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Like, they're the ones, literally, like the GM or, you know, a coach has to answer because, you know, somebody who's young and hip, like, thought they were being funny. And then you're like, what the hell is wrong with that Twitter account? There has been a few missteps on these social media accounts of major franchises. I've drawn a blank on an example, but I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, any pro franchise, if you're on Twitter and you tweet something out, you're representing that franchise.
That's what I mean.
And by extension, the brand of the whole league. And it's not as if this is offensive or anything. Of course not. It's just, it's goofy. It's goofy.
Right.
And there's, I can tell you, as a fan of a team in the NFC North, I'm not sitting here saying, I can't believe the new Bears GM is already at the facility. Now we're in big trouble. Like, now this guy's going to get there first, and the Packers are in trouble. And I guarantee you the other teams in the NFC East are thinking the same thing. You know, the Giants have got a guy who shows up early, especially with New York traffic. Can you believe it? Man, is he committed. No, probably not. Anyway, Leafs are in town tonight. We have talked about the profile that comes with the World Juniors a lot on this show.
Yeah.
And at times that can go both ways. That can be a two-way street where you get too much promotion or you perform too well on the biggest stage, and all of a sudden it just immediately carries with you and hangs around your neck once you get to the NHL. This guy was a household name during the juniors for those 3 weeks. Everyone knows him. Why is he struggling to get off the mat in the NHL?
Yeah.
Why did he not develop into the superstar we saw that he was?
Also goes the other direction, Hazy, before you get cooking here. Dawson Mercer is an example. Could hardly play in the juniors, was an extra forward. Now he's one of the better young guys for the New Jersey Devils, and you're seeing other guys not really have an impact.
Well,
I agree. I mean,
what
where
I'm
you're going
is
ask
Zegras
Curtis
is
Lazar.
In town. What I'm saying is Zegras is in town tonight,
right?
And I think he's a household name for a lot of Canadian hockey fans because of the juniors, is my point.
You
got Getzlaff still on the team. Jamie Drysdale's a local kid from Toronto. He's making his debut up here. There's not going to be anyone in the stands, which sucks for him. But I think this team, when I think of the Ducks, Troy Terry's having an unbelievable year. Dallas Eakins got a connection here. I think Dallas Eakins is absolutely in the running for the Jack Adams. When I think of the Ducks right now, I think Zegras. I think Zegras because of what he did at the juniors. I think he plays with flair. He seems to be a guy who's willing to do the media rounds and social media rounds and talk on the ice. And he was a part of that goal. It was him and
Sonny Milano.
And Milano when he popped it up over the net and tapped it in. I think of Zegras, and I really think that the World Juniors catapulted him into this position where a kid in Anaheim, I think, is someone that people in Toronto would be buzzing about, the fact that he's playing the Leafs tonight.
Sure. And I'm sure when he gets older, he's going to want, because right now he's young and stupid, and he's got the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure hair, and he's like, oh, hey, what's up? And he's wickedly talented, but he wants to move. I'm sure when he gets older, it happens to every kid where you're just kind of happy. Oh, and I did something cool, and everybody talks about it. And I'm going to go on everybody's podcast and talk about it, how cool it was. And I'm the guy that did the flip play behind the net. But as time goes on, he's going to want to be known as more of a competitor and a guy that helped the Ducks get over the hump, because that little thing in Ottawa he did, that's great and everything. It was a cool moment. But it's like you don't want that defining you, because you just – you're known as the guy that did the thing behind the net. They want to win playoff rounds. He wants to be known as a competitor moving forward, I'm sure. For right now, it's a cool story for him.
And
that's where Torts Noodles was probably going with, where it's like, that's great and everything. That was cool, but Torts wasn't a fan of that.
No, and I get that you know, Torts had a different view on it. Everyone's allowed their opinion. I think I text you guys when I called that game out in Anaheim, and it was Anaheim-Ottawa, and I was like, this team's got some pieces here. You know, like that. And Zegras was front and center, not just because of the attitude, that he's got skill.
He's really good player.
This is a really good young NHL player. This, you know, for Anaheim, this is their young Matthews. This is their young Marner. Like, that's that Drysdale is a hell of a player. I think he's going to be a stud for years. They got a great goalie, actually, in John Gibson. What you're seeing is a changing of the guard. Getzlaff is on a pretty value contract there. but he wanted to stick it out and help these kids get to the next level. And you get a healthy Silverberg, and you're looking at some of the players. Like, they're a pretty good team under the radar. I personally did not think they were a playoff team, but they're proving me wrong. I think they're proving a lot of people wrong that they're hanging in there, and they're beating some quality teams. They handed Boston a loss the other night.
That's right.
I hope the Leafs aren't sleeping on them tonight, because they're a good team. The Leafs are a good team. Like, you got to compete, and I know it's going to be an empty building, and everyone's going to argue about that, but they've got some young pieces there. Now we'll see. The Leafs have to play their game to have success as well.
Yeah, I'm sure Sheldon Keefe, he'll be hammering that home, and the Leafs played them well when they went through California. That trip was a very impressive one for the Leafs, and that was before all hell broke loose, really, for them in terms of COVID and shutting down and missing games. That's when they were really cooking through California. And this will be Jack Campbell's chance to get back in the net, since he promised redemption or promised better play, and I don't think anyone needs to hold him to that. He's had a great year. He's had a great season.
That's a weird comment, man. It was weird.
Yeah, it was. I think that was. It was a flashback moment for him. Like, he was saying that a lot when he first got here, and even at times early into his process as being a number one last year. Remember, he'd come out and apologize for everything. They'd lose 1-0, and he'd apologize for giving up the one goal. But his stats have fallen off. His last six starts, they're up there on TSN 4. He's got a save percentage under 9, and they're winning games because he's going to get that goal support. But he's been the one in net when they have blown the leads. And I think it says something about how he's established himself in the market and the trust that I think a lot of the fans have for him, is he has not been at the forefront of many people blaming him for the loss, the losses or the blown leads. It's been more about the defense and the structure and, what Sheldon Keefe says after the game. Jack Campbell really has not been in the firing line at all.
Well,
I think that's understandable. I don't think he should be.
Exactly, because he's built up enough goodwill because he's played so fantastic this year. When you build up that type of goodwill where you've got trust, you've got the respect of everyone, and you hit the ditch or you stumble for a week here or two or a game here or there, nobody cares because they know what they can get from you. And the way that he's carried himself on and off the ice, I think there's a lot of trust there. So, it comes back to, if he has a little bit of a down stretch, you've seen what he's capable of, and you just hope that he gets back there. I'm looking at Joe's board. Say it ain't so. You know, the thing I noticed at the top of the board, it's 4-1.
4-1-1,
I'll take 4-1.
Exactly.
I don't care what the numbers that go below it. If you said to me every 4 out of 5 games you'd win, I think you'd sign off on that pro team whatsoever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the other side of the blown lead. At least you had the lead.
Like, exactly.
And yes, you've blown it, but it's tied. You're still in it. where it's the opposite way. If you're giving up 3 in the first and then chasing it all night, that's when it can be very dangerous. So you're right. I mean, even with the stats ballooning a little bit recently for Jack Campbell, he's 4-1-1 in his last 6 starts. That is a very, very quality record to have. And you extrapolate that over the course of the season, you're going to be in a pretty good spot.
Right.
Really good spot. So the Leafs are at home against Anaheim tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Darren Dreger will join us later in the afternoon. Some rumors, out there. There's obviously new GMs talking throughout the country in Vancouver and Montreal recently. Some news about Carey
Price.
Oh,
yeah, it's rumor season, man.
Claude Giroux, man. That's an interesting one for me.
Which one's that?
The Claude Giroux.
Oh, yeah. Chuck Fletcher basically said, we're dying to flip this guy. He just has to wave. That was my interpretation. Like, he's got a full no move. All he knows is Philly. He's a captain there. He's had a great career. He's still a very good player. It's just the Flyers, like Chuck Fletcher, the GM, he's been there for, 2 years since Hextall left?
Yeah.
They have to throw a grenade into that team. Like, they have to completely blow it up. They're awful.
Like, I talked about them at the beginning of the year, and I'm like, they brought in so many good players. It's like, you look around, good player, good player, good player, and it's like, they're terrible.
Just no great players. That's the thing about Philly. Like, you look at them. Ryan Ellis has been injured basically all year. Good player.
Which sucks.
Ristolainen, good player. You know, like, Konechny's not had himself.
Dude, there's enough good player, really good players there to be better than 13 in a row.
Well, would you consider Giroux great? Here's a guy who's a 100-point guy and has been. I think if you look at his stats, I've got to look him up before I misspeak, but I think it was as recent as last year he had quality stats, too.
He always puts up points.
This guy's very consistent.
Always.
So, but would you consider that great?
Doesn't like, seem like he's in that category, which may be underrating him because I think he's one of those guys that over the last 10 years he's like top five in points in the league.
Exactly. Like I think what happens is you get sucked down by the success of your team. But if you looked at him individually, I think he's, you know, statistically at least pulled his weight. I'm not in that dressing room and I'm not seeing if there's any dysfunction behind the scenes or anything like that. But, you know, Claude Giroux, guy makes $8.2 million.
And you can just put him in a line with Eric Lindros and all the other guys in Philly. How the hell could you even judge anything about the quality of their teams when, and I'm not hearing any more of this Carter Hart stuff. I'm done hearing it. Like I'm done hearing that this guy's the next Carey Price. And I know, Noodles, this is your expertise.
I do love that. Him, but he's got to play better.
What's going on there in that net is it's been nonsense for 30 years. They went from Brisco. They had 50. They're the Cleveland Browns quarterback of their goaltending situation. You know the jersey we talked about with the names that just boom, 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 boom. They've had really good teams, man, and not ever quality goaltending. And Carter Hart, maybe he is the next Carey Price, but he ain't close to that right now. I'm sorry, he's not.
Well, the one thing, and I know Ron Hextall got. I don't know if he got ran out of there or whatever, but there were people that were dying to bring Hart up, and Hexy was trying to keep him down and just let him grow in the AHL and just get him some experience kind of without being on the big stage. Because you're right. I think Philadelphia, for the most part, has been a goaltender graveyard. Just like, I mean, for a while here, it was in Toronto, the goalie graveyard with the carousel. Because who was the last, you know, it was Cujo, I guess, or was it Eddie?
Belfour, yeah. They went from Joseph to Belfour, which was a great transition.
Well, Potvin to, Potvin
to
those guys,
Cujo.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. It was right. Potvin, Cujo, Belfour. They were rolling there for a while.
They were. And then it kind of, you know, the stability kind of dropped off a little bit. And now, I mean, Freddie was really good the last couple of years, and now Jack has stepped into it. But when you don't have it, and Philadelphia has it, like Roman Čechmánek, do you remember that name? Mm-hmm. He had something crazy for a stat. I believe he was one of the fastest goaltenders. Ken Hitchcock made goaltenders a lot of money because of his system. Čechmánek.
Noodles, I'm not kidding
guys.
You. One night, this is besides the point. Joseph Vasilevskiy went right inside the blue line and dropped a pass to me. I was just inside the blue line, and I wanted to change, so I just took a snapshot on net. I got into the bench, and I looked up, and all the boys were at the bench with their arms up. They're like, that went in. Against Roman Čechmánek. That guy was outrageous in net.
I could do you. I don't try to one up, but Drew McGinley went to dump it in Calgary one time, and Čechmánek went out to play it, and for some reason he lost his stick, and it hit his stick, and it was going 15 feet wide. It hit his stick and went in the net. And the same thing, Ginla was in the bench going, what happened? It's like, it went in. Like,
But
here's the thing. Statistically, I think he was one of the fastest goaltenders in modern age to 25 shutouts.
It was unbelievable.
His statistical value in Philly. But they haven't had that, like, pillar, you know, a 60-game starter year in and year out pretty much since Hexy, his first time around.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I think Van Breesbrook was there for a bit, right? Like he was.
Yeah, they've had. Sean Burke. I feel like some great goaltenders went through there, but maybe at different parts of their careers. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see what Dregs can tell us about that with Claude Giroux. You know, Chuck Fletcher being that open, essentially saying, you know, it's up to Claude what he wants to do. So if he wants to stay, that means he's not going to waive. But
when the guy says that, that means you better get the hell out of here.
We really want you not to be here anymore.
Yeah, that is GM speak for it's time for you to move on because we got to build with something else.
Yeah, more or less. So we'll get to that coming up. We got Chris Long just after 5. Jack Armstrong later this hour with the Raptors coming off a very impressive win last night. One of the most impressive wins of the year considering Barnes was out, Van Vliet was out, and now both of those guys questionable to play tonight in Chicago. Today is Bellet's Talk Day to keep the conversation going and to give a hand to Canadian mental health initiatives. Bell will donate an additional 5 cents for simple actions you can take right now. You can send a text, make a phone call on a Bell network, or use the hashtag #BellLet'sTalk or watch the official Bell Let's Talk video on social media. Mental health is more important than ever, so please join the conversation. All right, Chris Long in about 45 minutes. Jack Armstrong later this hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Jack Armstrong in about 15 minutes. Raptors in Chicago playing the Bulls tonight. Pascal Siakam, man, did he have himself a night last night. A rebound away from a triple-double. He was outstanding, and they did that without Van Vliet, without Scottie Barnes, and questionable if those two play tonight. We'll see what Jack can tell us about that in about 15. Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champ, will join us just after 5 o'clock.
Is it Siakam's complete game that kind of, because I see 24 points, and I'm just not, I don't know.
Well, it's impressive. Like, when you consider who's missing, the position he was playing, the amount of time he had the ball in his hand last night, you know, he was playing kind of point forward last night with with Van Vliet not there. And they got some minutes in with Flynn and minutes in with Banton, and those guys gave them a change of pace and put up some numbers themselves.
Well, they weren't playing Sacramento, so.
No, they were not playing Sacramento. You see them get crushed last night?
Dude, some guy sent me a tweet, said Sacramento 7, Boston 33. And I was like, they're getting crushed.
Yeah. Just the timing of that conversation yesterday couldn't have been better, because people were sending us, it was just them getting taken to the woodshed.
The most irrelevant team in sports. It's as if they were all listening. That was the pregame pep talk, was me calling them irrelevant. We had someone who, I guess, listens to the show or podcast every day in Sacramento. Okay. And he wrote us on our Twitter handle.
He said, you're so right.
He said, you're absolutely right. He said, every other team in California is more popular here. Like, the Lakers are bigger. The Warriors are bigger. And all Sacramento has is the Kings. They don't have any other big four sports team. And they're largely irrelevant in their own market. So that made me feel better about my list. I was wondering if you were feeling any nostalgia last night, Noodles, because I'm thinking Aaron Dell might be joining the club after he laid out Drake Batherson last night. And we haven't had a goalie suspension in a long time.
Well, believe me, I've been reminded 380 times today that the last goaltender suspension happened to be mine.
Right.
That was greasy, man.
It was. Really? I mean, mine was stupid. I owned it. I got 5 games, $150,000 fine. You guys know I've served one game and I paid my playoff share, but they're not going to get the money or the time off of me.
Right.
Dell, here's what I didn't like about it is he initiated contact. And just like, you know, I slashed the guy. He drops a shoulder. I don't think Batherson saw it coming. I think he tried to cut an angle around. I have no problem with the goaltender holding his position and forcing the player to go around. You can try and buy a second or two for your defenseman to exit the puck, but he initiated contact. That's the difference. That's the suspension. It's an interference suspension call. The unfortunate part is, say he gets 2 games. Batherson's going to be out for, what, 6 weeks? Missed the All-Star game. He's their top scorer. He's having a fantastic kind of breakthrough platform year, and it sucks because it's a you know, it's an avoidable play, you know, in end of January, mid-season type of thing. There's so many, you know, as much as a goaltender hugger I am, it's a suspension.
No, it's a bad play.
Oh, it was a dirty bastard play. It was gross, greasy. Like, I can't believe that Brady Tkachuk didn't beat the living
That's where it gets interesting. Is now, because you know that this is what's going to unravel. Is, all right, when do we get to a point where it's free game?
I thought it was last night at 5-0 where they were like, okay, now it's time to absolutely run. But it was just, I don't know.
I unless the head coach goes, guys, we can't, you know, you can't, because you know that's a suspension. If somebody pulls the Milan Lucic on Ryan Miller and skates right through him, you know,
I wanted
now
to see the Wendell on John Casey, the Cocobunk. That's one of my favorite.
Get Joe from the Bridge to pull that video up, because you remember Casey was kind of being a bit of a hero, I think, and Wendell just like suckered him. Like,
oh,
flat out
takes
like,
him right out. And I think it's Harry Neal that's like, oh, a Cocobunk from Wendell. And the best part is Domi's on the ice with him, so no one on St. Louis does anything.
Like, nah, nothing to see here.
They're all
folks.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm with you, Wendell. That was greasy.
The other thing, and I'm an advocate of this, goaltenders are like quarterbacks. You can't touch them, so then you can't go looking for contact either. That's the thing. If you're expecting that a goaltender is sacred everywhere, you can't touch the goalie, can't do that, like you've got to avoid him, then you can't go looking for contact.
The goalies have to understand that. Like, there's a video circulating of Dell hitting Mark Stone. I think it was from last year.
Yeah, that one was the same type of play.
Same thing.
Stone got up and came at them.
Here's the Wendell Cocobunk. Casey, boom. There he is. I'm on TSN.
Well, Casey gave him a swat, though.
Yeah, he deserved to get popped. That's the issue. Like, that's where goalies, you're right, the goalies and the quarterback, it is the equivalent.
Just
like
punching the goalie.
You got to have it. But if you're going to be a hero, Casey hits Wendell there. Now, this is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But Wendell's like, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to lay you out. And I have no issue with that. I think, I don't know, I understand why the league wouldn't be happy about it, but it just pops up. And look at St. Louis. They're like, hey,
yeah,
don't do that.
Igor Kravchuk. Hey, please don't do that. Yeah, like, that's, please. It's Crafty. Like, Crafty's not going to do anything.
No,
like,
not with one. And Domi's on the ice with him. Domi comes flying in later. He's looking for someone to say something.
No, I get it. It's a bad play. There's no defending that. You can understand the thought process to try and run interference, but to initiate contact, it's crossed the line.
Yeah,
he's going to get suspended for it. But, you know, what number makes it right?
I don't know. Like, and honestly, does it really matter? We're talking about Aaron Dell and Buffalo. That's the thing. It's not going to might
that,
help
like,
them. You take someone out of the lineup because Buffalo are they tanking? I can't get a read on what Buffalo is. You know, what are they?
I think
they're
trying to get.
They are where they're supposed to be.
I think they're trying to come out of it. What you're trying to do is, hey, you've traded Eichel for some pieces. That Alex Tuch took some time to get into it. Like, Skinner's having a kind of a resurgence. What has he got, 15 or 16? Like, you've got some young pieces there. Like, that Dahlin's starting to show up as a really nice player.
You have to
have
faith in him.
He's a nice player, like a really nice player. Like, they have pieces, but they're kind of coming out of the rebuild and now allowing these players to grow. I like that Olofsson. Like, you know,
since Tuck came back in the lineup, Noodles, I'm starting to see that Tage Thompson's a nice player. He's a big dude. He can score goals. You could see something there if they
get a
goaltender and a couple more veteran guys on the back end, and then maybe some elite skill in the middle. Who knows, man? They're showing signs of life, though.
Well,
like, it's not like doom and gloom.
The last thing I point out is, let's not forget, Kevin Adams was basically handed a house on fire.
Right.
So he's doing what he can to dig out. You got your captain in the face of the organization going, yeah, I don't trust. Like, I got to have my doctors. Like, I want out.
Not a fun
out.
Way
like,
to start.
It was a real tough situation. Obviously, through Ray, we have a connection to Donnie Granato. I think he's done a good job there.
Really
like,
good
there's,
job, yeah.
There's some pieces, but they're kind of in step two of 10 coming out of it, if you ask me. But they are headed at least with some direction
you
there.
You would hope so, right?
Yeah,
like I feel like there's a – them and Ottawa are in a similar spot. It's been – now, Ottawa got into it. Like Buffalo's been inept for quite some time. They've been awful for a long time. Ottawa was a quality team. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, they were in a conference
right,
final.
Right, exactly. They went scorched earth, and now they're trying to come out of it.
But it's a rat race between those two teams. You know, and when you're looking up, because I remember this, you talk about nostalgia, but remember when the Leafs were awful, and you look up and say, how are they catching Detroit? You know, how are they catching? Remember when Detroit was in their division and rock stars, and, you know, there were teams. Tampa was a really good team. Boston was always a good team. And you looked at it, and it felt almost impossible.
Right.
Looking up and saying, how are you catching those teams? And I would have to think it's a similar mentality right now in Buffalo and in Ottawa, where how are you going to catch Florida, Toronto, Tampa, Boston? Like, those four teams feel so far ahead. You can throw Detroit in there, too, in terms of scorched earth and bottoming out and them getting into a better direction. That's your question. Who do you have more faith in 2 or 3 years from now? Is it Detroit, Ottawa, or Buffalo?
Well,
which of those three, or I guess the Habs now that they're in the muck too, but
well,
they're different. They were in a cup final last year. And,
yeah, you got to see what the direction.
What is the question?
Picks.
Which one? What?
Detroit, Buffalo, or Ottawa? In 3 years, who do you think will be the better team? Who do you have more faith in?
I say Ottawa, not just because I cover them. I just see the pieces there. Like, I like Norris. I like Batherson. I like Tkachuk. This Stutzla is starting to come in. Mm-hmm. Like, Shabbat. Yeah, where's Matt Murray going to be? I don't know. Detroit, like, that Sider is a hell of a player. Raymond,
really
like, they've
good.
Got some. And
see,
I guess
Detroit
you could believe
Eisenman.
In the architect, yes.
I'd say where, Eisenman. I think Eisenman deserves that level of respect.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I look at some of the pieces that even Ottawa's drafted too. This Jake
right.
Sanderson, you know, Jacob Bernard Dogger. Like, there's some players that are kind of in the pipeline. They're on the cusp of arriving as players too. So 3 years from now, I would bet more on Ottawa. But you shouldn't have any slight on Detroit, because you'll see like that. I love that Tyler Bertuzzi. I think he's a hell of a player. I know people get mad or whatever, have the political
only
views
player
on his
in the league not vaccinated.
The vaccination status. The kid can play.
Oh,
the kid can flat out play, and he's kind of a unicorn. He's a unique player because he's got everything. And, you know, Larkin's still there. They've got some pieces there. But it's all, you know, again, what do you view them at as far as if 10 stages? Are they stage three, stage four?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I compare them more to the teams further up, and they're not there. They're not where the Leafs are, Florida, Tampa. It's just and that's what you're trying to pursue. You're trying to get back into the race. You're trying to get into the real stuff where you know you're making the playoffs and what kind of damage can you do.
Right.
Jack Armstrong will join us coming off a really impressive Raptors win last night. Gary Trent Jr. had himself a night, especially from behind the arc, and I thought Ananobi played well. Siakam, maybe the best game of the season for him, and it was much needed with Van Vliet out and Scotty Barnes out. And now they're in Chicago, and the Bulls are waiting, and the Bulls obviously are a really good team, but they're dealing with injury problems themselves, so they're not the same team they have been all year. We'll tee up that game with Jack as well. Chris Long in about 25 minutes. Al's brother in the filter at 5:30. Al's brother.
Oh, there's going to be some greasy filters, I wonder. I am quite curious.
I've heard that they might be. So we'll get to that around 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Raptors coming off a really impressive win last night. You know, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Fred VanVleet not playing and what that's going to mean for the rotation. And then you hear later that Scotty Barnes is out, and you take two players out of the starting lineup, and this is not a rotation that Nick Nurse has been going deep into the bench for anyway.
Tack on no one in the building again. Makes me sick watching it.
Yep, and that's going to be the reality for a while. And they got off to a great start, and they never let go. And I thought Pascal Siakam might have had the best game he's had all year. And now they've got another test tonight in Chicago taking on the Bulls, and here's our TSN Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. Is that too much hyperbole, too much exaggeration to suggest that that might have been Siakam's best game last night of the season, Jack?
Well, let's throw one more name in there, too. I mean, they don't even have Ken Birch, who probably would be starting center or, at the very least, the first big off the bench. So, no, here's my thing. I've had the good fortune to watch Pascal Siakam from his rookie year on, as you guys have. I even remember him when he played at New Mexico State. This is the best basketball he's played in his career. Well-earned, well-deserved. He's playing at an incredibly high level. A few years back, he was not only an all-star, he was all-NBA. And he's playing better than that right now. This is a guy that literally, as you know, jumped on a moving train after being out for 6 months with surgery and didn't start the season and, you know, literally had to jump on board as the train was moving, which is incredibly hard. And he had some rough games early on, which were completely and totally understandable. And now he's in a groove. And to me, I'm just really, really enjoying watching his development in terms of how he reads the other guy, nine guys on the floor, how the game has slowed down for him, his recognition, his passing, taking on doubles, knowing where to go next. This is a young man, and I give the Raptor organization a lot of credit and his coaches early in his career, Dwayne Casey and obviously Nick Nurse now, the predominant amount of time. And how far he's come along, and they've done a great job developing guys. And he is a classic example of a late first round pick who a lot of people wondered whether he'd be an elite guy. And he's already been an all NBA player, and he's been an all-star. And as I said, he's playing better than that. And he probably won't even make the all-star game, because he missed an early part of the season, whereas I think Fred VanVleet, who's absolutely deserving as well of being an all-star, will probably make it because he's played more games. And, but both of them, in my opinion, are all-stars.
Jack, do you think we hear things every day on this show, whether it's coaches' cliches of learning lessons and moving on from it? Do you think there's been some growth and learning for Pascal? If you go back to the bubble where I don't think he was in great basketball shape back then. There was rumors of that anyway, and some stumbles along the way, and he came out and said, nobody told me I was the guy, and he had some situations where he had the ball at ends of games and he wasn't coming through. Do you think he's kind of just bundled that all up and kind of learned and grown basketball-wise and as a human, and he's kind of put it together right now?
Yeah. You know, isn't it funny? I mean, Jeff, you look at some of the guys you played with, and you know, and you see them at you know, in their 40s or 50s, and you're like, this wasn't the same guy when he was in his 20s. I can't believe the things he's saying. He sounds like a coach.
Yeah, I'm probably one of them.
Yeah, we all are. And I have three sons, and I was a coach for a long time, so I get it. You know, and a lot of times during that process, as we know, there needs to be really hard discussions and many times conflict. And unfortunately, in our society now, anytime there's like a coach and a player get into it and feathers get ruffled and all that, people want to create all this drama out of it. No. I mean, if you have a son or daughter, there's times you got to tell them what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear. That's tough love. That's good. That's the job of a teacher, a coach, a mentor, whatever the case may be, a parent, you know. And to me, I think the key is the character of the young man that you're working with and whether they have the maturity and self-awareness to be able to absorb the message, look in the mirror and say, you know what, I don't like what I'm hearing. There are times I'm going to fight it a little bit, but ultimately, little by little, I'm going to, it grows on you and you mature. So, yeah, I'm sure that there was some conflict there. There was some challenges. There was some life lessons that he had to learn. But to me, I give him a ton of credit. He's come through that a much, much better player. And I'm excited to watch what I'm seeing right now. And he deserves all the credit.
With Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. The Raptors are in Chicago tonight taking on the Bulls, and we don't have any word yet on Van Vliet or Barnes. We do know on the other side of the court, Caruso's out, Ball is out. So, you know, those are two primary pieces for them. The Bulls have had a great year. DeMar's had a great year. How do you see this one playing out tonight, and specifically with the younger guards who got minutes last night? I thought they played well. I thought Malachi Flynn and Delano Banton really played well last night. Do you see more minutes being dispersed because it's a back-to-back tonight?
Well, you know, so much of it is going to come down to how the game evolves. But, you know, you're right. I mean, the Bulls have had a tremendous season. And, you know, without Caruso and Ball, they're a different team, and particularly defensively. As good as those guys are offensively, they really set a tremendous tone for their team on the perimeter as defenders. They're tough guys. And, you know, in terms of Banton and Flynn, you know, a lot will depend on how the game plays out and whether Fred plays or Van Vliet plays or not. But ultimately, I think the thing with, you know, the discussion about minutes and all that, I mean, the job of a coach is to win games. So if Nick Nurse thinks by playing a guy 3 to 4 extra minutes is going to give him a greater chance to win, as a former coach, I support that. I mean, that's what you're trying. You know, that's the ultimate objective. And at the same time, there's an element of development, too, that comes into play, and I respect that, too, from a big picture. The one thing I'll say with that, and I think we'd all agree with this, the first thing we spoke about tonight was Pascal Siakam. We just mentioned Fred VanVleet. We can even go into OG Anunoby. Those guys all broke in a winning organization. The Raptors have been in the playoffs 7 of the last 8 years. They have a winning record right now. Season ends today. They're in the playoffs again, 8 out of 9. They have a championship there, and they're yada, yada, yada. But the bottom line is Delano Banton and Malachi Flynn aren't playing for the Sacramento Kings, which are a gong show. They're playing for the Raptors. And I think when you look at the leadership of a Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, the great coaching of a Nick Nurse and his staff, you're going to be held accountable. You got to prove it. And you got to be able to do it every day and help a team win. Because that's what Fred VanVleet had to do. That's what Pascal Siakam had to do. If they didn't get it done, you know what? They didn't play. Hey, go play in the G League. You know, figure it out. But we're not handing you minutes. Now, in Sacramento, they're handing guys minutes. And look what happens. Guys, it's empty calories. You know, guys are talented and they're good players, but are they guys that you look at and say, man, I want that guy in the foxhole with me to help me win? I know one thing. I want Fred VanVleet next to me in a foxhole. That guy's going to – he'll do whatever it takes to win because he's a winner. And as much as he was a great player in college, he's a great pro, too, because of having to play behind a Kyle Lowry and play with so many other good players and play for good coaches and be held accountable and things being demanded of him by the organization where they don't kiss his you-know-what. And to me, when you add it all up, that's why these guys become good. And you guys can go in any, you go to any sport and it's the same thing. You know, a dear friend of mine, an old time NBA guy said to me, he goes, the team you break in with in a lot of ways determines the professional career that you have.
I think that's something that rings out. We got to fly here, Jack, but I think everything you're saying there rings true. We hammer it home as well, and we'll see how it applies to the game tonight.
And look at your partner, Mr. O'Neill. I mean, look at the legend he became.
Exactly. Starting in Hartford. They don't even have a team anymore. That tells you all you need to know. Thank you, Jack.
Good night, guys.
There's Jack Armstrong with a couple of subtle shots at my Sacramento Kings, too. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm jumping on the Kings bandwagon.
Any blowback from Sacramento?
No one. Who's in Sacramento that cares about the Kings?
Dude, you got some blowback from somewhere.
I got some blowback from a couple of different spots. So I'll tell you where later this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.